verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. From King James or Amplified, we want to compare with other versions and show you something important. I said it last week, but I want to emphasize it as I was meditating again. Matthew 17, 20, it says, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Okay, anybody have Amplified to support me? I read King James now. Anybody Amplified? Brother Toby, Amplified? Amplified, Matthew 17, 20, just read it. And I'll just show you something, the difference between these two versions and the others on this issue. Matthew 17, 20. Matthew 17, 20, yes.
Matthew 17, 20. He said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith," that is,
because of the littleness of your faith.
Of your faith.
You know, New Living said, because you don't have enough faith. And the other one said, because of your unbelief. This one said, because of the littleness of your faith. Yes, go on.
That is, your lack of firmly relying trust.
Yes, go on.
For truly, I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed.
If you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed. Okay, thank you. Let's stop there. Thank you very much. What I'm trying to say to you now is, if you look at King James and Amplified, you'll see that there is no mention of as small as a mustard seed. Yeah? I know the other version says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. And there's a version Sister Ronke read last week that said, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed. But King James just simply says, if you have faith as a mustard seed. And before he says, if you have faith that is living as a mustard seed. So for the benefit of today's sermon, please forget about the word small or big. That is not the emphasis. The emphasis is the seed. Say to your neighbor, say seed. Ask them, do you know what seed means? Ask them. Okay, that leads me to my first question, which I gave you the answer last week. What is the best definition of a seed? Brother Tim. You know I'm targeting him because he was not here last week, so he can't know the answer that I gave. What is the best definition, the most universal definition of a seed that applies to all seeds in the world, both physical or spiritual? I'll give you some time. Do you want to go? Are you ready? I know I'm not giving you time. Just any answer. I'm not looking for anything perfect. Any seed, physical or spiritual, what's the best way you can define a seed personally?
A seed is an investment.
Oh, put your hands together for my team. You know what I like about that answer? It's very practical. You know, and very concise. Straightforward. In fact, that answer is also a seed. It's pregnant, you know, with meaning. Hallelujah. A seed is what? It's an investment. Okay, who can give me the answer I gave last week? What is the best definition of a seed? You know, the most universal definition of a seed as it applies to you. Who can remember the answer we gave last week? The one I told you to write down. It was also in the church newsletter. Yeah, that's how we go. Okay. Yes, give us your version. Let's see if you can breathe butt into it. Yeah.
You mean like growth?
Yes.
Willing to grow.
Sorry, say that again.
Willing to grow?
Yes, yes.
So it starts off small.
Yes.
And say, then yes. So it's.
Thank you. You've put your hands together for Sister Crystal for that. Listen to that answer. Please, I'm taking the answer and I'm, you know, making a clap for you was not to impress you because it's part of my message. A seed is something that starts small but can grow. So if something cannot grow, it's not a seed. Hello? Something that cannot grow or be multiplied is not what? A seed. In fact, it's a stone or bread. Yeah? You just eat it, it's gone. But a seed is an investment. A seed is something that starts small, yeah, but can grow. I just quickly remind you, for time's sake, let's move so that I can get to where we're going. Yes, Sister Claudia, do you want to try what is the definition we gave last week? Yes?
A seed is something that you can grow today to produce a harvest tomorrow.
A seed, let me just, that's the nearest. A seed is something you have today that can produce a harvest of what you need or want tomorrow. There is something that you have today. You know that hymn? That hymn says, just as I am without nothing, yeah? He said, without one plea. There is always something you have. God has so designed life that there will never be a situation you are in your life that you are seedless. Hello, are you listening to me? Yeah? You always have a seed. All you need to do is find it. Identify what that seed is. The seed may not look like what you are looking for, but you have it. Let's go to Genesis 8:22. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And I tell you, that's the secret of faith. The secret of faith is that you have a seed. Hello? You say hi. Hello?
Hi.
The goal of that is to make sure that you are still, you know. But I told you, I was talking about somebody who was bored to death. I don't want to do. I still have a very long way to go. Yeah? We're talking of thousands of people, so I don't want to start boring people to death now. Yeah? Hello? Yeah, you're still with me. Genesis 8:22. A seed is an investment. A seed is something you have that looks small but can grow. Genesis 8:22. Let's read it. Who would like to read that? Someone who has not read today? Genesis 8:22. Sister Agnes, are you there? No, not yet. You're still preparing. Yes? Are you there? Genesis 8:22. Go on.
As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night.
Are you hearing that? Do you know when that scripture came? Do you know the circumstances of Genesis 8:22? Read the verse before. Just 21.
And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy the living things.
Amen. Are you with me? The background to that was after the flood, where God had used the flood to destroy the whole world. Verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy everything as I have done. While the earth remains. Can you say that with me? Is the earth still remaining? Seed time and harvest. Cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Who is speaking there? God. There are many different covenants that God has. Some covenants are conditional. So God says, if you do this, I will do this. That's a conditional covenant. But that covenant that God made there, yeah, it was unconditional. You understand? And one of the evidences of that covenant is the rainbow. When you see the rainbow, yeah, it's a sign of that. It's an unconditional covenant. God said, while this is what it will be. It doesn't matter the imagination of man at seed time and harvest shall not cease. You know why the seed is so important? Yesterday night, I was hungry. I know. It looks like, why am I saying this? It's a familiar story, isn't it? I was hungry. I look around. What can I eat? Yeah. You know, I'm the night type of person. Yeah, I sleep late. Many men sleep late. But I told you, when do you sleep on average? 2 o'clock. I've changed mine to 12. Hallelujah. I sleep 12 o'clock. I have my quiet time at night anyway. I revolutionized it. That's the way to do it. If something is trying to oppress it, oppress it. Change it in your favor. Hallelujah. So rather than sitting up, you know, at 10 o'clock, watching TV into the night or do whatever else you do, I changed it. I stopped watching TV. 10 o'clock to 12, I will pray. Then when I finish praying, I go to the kitchen. I look around. So I look around, looking for something to eat. Then thankfully, I found a banana. Now listen, as I took that bite, I just thought to myself, you know what? Where did the banana come from? From South America. Yeah. It came from a tree. Where did the tree come from? From the ground. Where did it come from? It's seed in the ground. Yeah? A seed that looks so useless, so small, so dead, produced me a banana. And I ate it. Are you with me? That is how important the seed is. Now, even that crisps that Sister Crystal is eating right now came from corn and wheat. In fact, that one is a direct seed. It's, you know, banana is not a direct seed. You can't just take a banana and put it in the ground and it will. You understand? Banana is a fruit. But that. What's the name of that crisps? Doritos is direct seed. The corn is a grain, which is also the thing, the what you will plant next time, isn't it? That's what's converted to Doritos. Are you with me? We could not survive without the seed. Every day, it doesn't matter whether you're going to the nicest restaurant in the world. The things that will serve you came from the ground. In fact, I want to warn you. If they are serving you what did not come from the ground, don't eat it. It's artificial. Hello? If you go to a restaurant and you're able to prove that what they are serving you did not come from the ground, I advise you in the name of the Lord, don't eat it. It's artificial, which means it can hurt you. Hello? Seed time and harvest will not cease. So God has committed himself to that. God, on his honor, will keep that covenant. That when a seed goes and we follow the pattern, there will be a harvest. And I want you to understand the difference between a seed and a harvest. The harvest is usually much bigger than the seed. But the way is, why waste our time? Are you understanding me? Why will you waste your time farming if you put a corn in and then after 6 months of labor, you reap what? Exactly one corn. Why waste our time? The harvest is going to be much bigger than the seed. It's the law of God. It's the law of life. And it's also the law of faith. When Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, what he's saying basically is that he's trying to teach us about the mustard seed, which we talked last week. Let's quickly look at it, and then we can progress further. Go to Matthew 13, and let's look at what Jesus taught about the mustard seed. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. Let's just quickly review it. And then I'd like to take you to how we can apply, because the purpose of this part two is, we ran out of time last week, how we can apply this to our daily life. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. Mirabel. Yes, let's not, and you know, it's actually open there, yeah? Verse 31 and 32. Yes, please.
Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed.
It's planted. Like, listen, just pause there. I know you read this. I read this many times before. You know, but what good thing about God is that there's no end to revelation. He said the kingdom of what?
Of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven is like what?
A mustard seed.
Think about what Jesus is saying there. He said the kingdom of heaven is like what? A mustard seed. Even the kingdom of heaven. That small. Are you understanding? That's why if you come to church, sometimes, you know, I mean, have you ever asked yourself a question? Say, if God tells you, Sister Mary, say, go and start a church. Or maybe I tell you in 5 years' time, Sister Mary, we want to send you to Manchester. to start a branch. I don't have any plan like that. Okay. No plan like that. Okay. And then you go. Then you ask, you say, oh, you know, and I tell you that the Lord has shown me that you'll be pastoring 1,000 people. Yeah? And then you go. We publish handbills, we publish, you know, everything. We do a big musical jamboree, and, you know, we have 3,000 attending. Then the next Sunday, you put out 1,000 chairs. Hello? And then you see only 5 people. Hello? The kingdom of heaven is what? It's like a mustard seed. It will start small. Then it will grow. Now, if the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, how much more any other thing we want in life? Anything at all. Anything, including your biggest mountain. The solution will start with a seed. Please continue. Read it again.
All of it.
Yes, 31 and 32.
Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in the field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches.
Hallelujah. Now, that is the key of a mustard seed. So I'll show you again what I showed you last week. Look at the mustard tree there. You see that? But it starts like what? The smallest of all the seeds. There is something you have today that can produce a harvest of what you need or want tomorrow. It's the law of God. Amen. And it's also the law of faith. Hallelujah. So let's move on. I show you some of the principles there. So a seed may look small and unattractive, yet it is full of life. Amen. From one man and one woman, today we have like 6 billion people living on the planet. Never count all the people that have died. You know, there are people have been dying for 6,000 years. But today we have 6 billion living. 150 people die every second. 150 people die every second. That's the average statistics. Yet there are 6 billion people on earth. But they all came from one man and one woman. Do you understand? It's the law of the seed. It multiplies. Hallelujah. A seed may look small. It may look unattractive. But it has the power of life. So my next question is this. Don't miss this one. This is very important. That's the whole purpose of having the part two now. Name 5 seeds. Name 5 seeds that you will always have. You know, I told you, I said, you are never going to be without a seed. Right now, you have seed. Not only your baby, you have what? Seed. Hallelujah. Your baby is one of your seed. I know that. Hallelujah. Yeah? Hallelujah. You know, your baby is the guarantee that you have a grandchild if Jesus tarries. Do you get what I mean? Hallelujah. Hello? Anybody want a grandchild? Yeah. But before you can have a grandchild, you have to first of all have a child. Is it not that? Hallelujah. And I agree with that in the name of Jesus. You understand? You have a grandchild, you need first what? A child. And that child, you need that child, not just as a child, but that child also has to survive. Yeah? And then, are you with me? There are 5 seeds that you will always have all through your life. That even if you add nothing else, you will always have these 5 seeds. They are personal. They belong to you all the time. And they can produce a harvest all the time. Now, you will give me those answers. Just give me one of them each. But before that, I just wanted to note that there's a difference between when you have a mustard seed and when it becomes a tree. And what is the difference? Yes, it's been a natural answer. Between having a seed and having a tree, what do you need? If I plant a seed and I want a tree, what do I need?
Mustard seed.
Yes, I got it and I put it in the ground. Oh, I bury it. I put it, rest in peace. Then, but I'm waiting for a tree. So what do I need to do? What do I need?
You need water.
Yes, you need water. I didn't get what I'm trying to do. You need what? You need time. Isn't it? You need what?
Time.
But let me tell you something. One of the most fundamental seeds you always have. Yeah? Okay. Not one of the five. It's time. God has given to everybody a good measure of time. Say to yourself, say, I have time. God gave it to me. And I have to use it well. You see, time is free. Have you noticed? Not always. But the one that God gives is what? It's free. Amen. It's only when you waste it that you don't have time anymore. Are you with me? When you started your life, you had all the time in the world. Isn't it? But as you grow, you begin to have less and less time. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's not one of the C's I wanted to mention. So five C's that you always have. Yes, help me. You should know it. You've answered some of the questions in the devotional. What are those things you always have that you can use to serve God? Yeah, it's okay. Once I don't fall down. Five C's you always have. What can you serve God with? No? On your devotional. On your discipleship guide. There were three things that are personal to you that you can use to serve God. That's a clue anyway. What are five things you always have that are your seed? You know why I laugh? Because while you were away, we talk about time. That everybody has time, which is right. So it's a correct answer, but it's not one of the five C's I want. But everybody has time, and it's a key thing you have. No, five things you have. Tangible things. Money! You have money. Hello? You are what? You are money. Now, I know that sometimes you think you don't have money, but you have money. Let me tell you why I know you have money. Yeah? In today's world, you can't even function without money. Yeah? Hello? You may not have much money. You may not have too much money, but you have what? Money. It may be a penny, but it's still what? Money. Are you understanding? Don't ever think you don't have money. Say to yourself, say, I have money. You see, let me tell you something. It's a poverty mentality to think that you don't have money. You have money. It may be small, but that's all you need for a seed. Are you with me? A seed is what? It's small. So you have money. I don't want to ever think that I don't have money. I have what? Money. It may not be much, but I have money. Say to yourself, say, I have money. If you think like that, money will come to you. Money comes to those who respect money. Those who disrespect money moves away from there. I'm telling you the old truth and nothing but the truth. Money will come to those who respect money. Anything you respect will come towards you. Anything you don't respect, it will check out. Okay, you know it will not be properly treated. Are you with me? Okay, money is one seed you will always have. But that was not the first answer I was looking for. What will you always have? Right? Your skills. Your skills. Those are seeds that are just part of you. Nobody can even take it. You have your skills. It's a seed. Yeah? Yes? Sorry. Did I say? Let me just check my notes. I'm very wrong. Time is your even most important seed. Time. You have time. That's the number one seed. You have skills. That's another seed you have. Always. Yeah? You have money. Money is another fundamental seed you will always have. If you have no money at all, yeah? All your life, then you are a fundamentally lazy person. And you deserve a rod of correction. Hello, listen to me. Oh, no, don't misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand me. When I say money, I'm not talking about having too much money or too little money. I'm saying if you have no money at all, and that's your permanent situation for many years, then you are what? A lazy person. Because someone who is even totally disabled can beg. Are you listening to me? you should always have money. It may be small, but that you have zero, yeah? Zero? No. It's a different problem. You know, that problem is not a problem that needs prayer and fasting. It's a problem that needs you to get up and go out and do something. Whatever. Don't steal. Hallelujah. Right. Your time, your skills, your money. These are fundamental seeds you will always have. But there are two more. Yes, we take that from time. Okay. It branches off from time a little. There are two more, but let me disabuse your mind. These two, yeah, they are always with you. In fact, your time, your skills, and your money cannot do anything for you without these last two. No. I need to condition your mind. There are two things you do every day that without them, you can't even function in life. If you want to know you are alive, you want to test that you are alive. Yeah? If I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. You're still, you're just looking. How can I know you're alive? What is the proof? Breathing, yes. Let's leave breathing out of it. Yes? Yes? Someone's alive. And you want to know, what do you do to them? Or what can they do that will say, this person is alive. Yes, what's that? Your words. Your words. It's a seed you have. Always there. Your words. And finally, your actions. Your actions is also what? A seed you will always have. Let me tell you something. The words, if you want a harvest of blessing in any aspect of your life, you have got to plant seed in that aspect. Yes, you've got to pray. Don't misunderstand me. If you want the harvest of blessing, you should pray. Yeah? But you have got to plant what? Seed. You know why? No seed, no harvest. Please turn to your neighbor. Smile at them. Smile at them. Tell them, say, no seed, no harvest. Hello? But the good news is that you always have seed. And the way your seed goes into action is through your words and your actions, the things you do. That's why the Bible says that faith without corresponding actions is what? Is dead. Are you with me? There is something you have today, your time, your skills, your money, your words, and your actions that can produce a harvest of what you want or need tomorrow. So, if you take these five seeds and you do nothing about them and just keep praying and trusting God, you got to have no harvest. The best thing that God will do for you is give you wisdom and revelation. Say to yourself, say wisdom and revelation. I need it. You know, I actually need it. Glory to God. Let me see if I can round up in 10 minutes. Because I'm just scratching the top of this message now. Look at me. If you want your life to move forward, you have to plant the right words. Now listen, you will make mistakes from time to time and say the wrong things. But you know what I found about words? If you say the wrong thing, go back and say what? The right thing. It's simple. Tifida, I'm not talking to you, okay? But let's assume that I got very angry with you. I said, naughty woman. You know, that can destroy our relationship forever. Yeah? But imagine I just said that, and then as I'm driving away, I'm walking away, I say, what did I do? I just go, Tifida, please, you're the best auntie in the world. Hello? I have just use another word to do what? To kill that evil seed that was planted. Are you with me? You have to plant the right words and you have to plant the right actions. Your words and your action, they will determine your future. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say your words and your actions determine your future. Tell them, where you are today is a product of your words and your actions yesterday. Do you know that? Hello? Let me tell you one more seed you have. You yourself, you are a seed. Yeah? And how you live your life, we create a harvest of the atmosphere around you. Are you with me? If you want to change the atmosphere around you, yeah, you got to sow and plant the right words and the right action. Every choice you make that aligns with the will of God is changing your future in the right direction. Hallelujah. Every step you take of obedience and humility is changing your future in the right direction. Okay, I will round up, let's say, 7 minutes, okay? Open to Galatians. I started late anyway, thanks to Brother Toby. I started at 12 o'clock. I was watching the time, Brother Toby. Thank you very much. Galatians chapter 6. I'm not criticizing you, by the way. I don't want to say the wrong words. Hello? Somebody, he fasted and prayed for 3 days. And 3 nights. No food. No water. Comes out of that fasting. Yeah? And someone annoys him. And he starts cursing. Are you with me? Oh, the curses both on heaven, on the earth and the heaven. Within 5 minutes, he rained them all down. He has just single-handedly destroyed all what he was trying to plant. Open to Galatians chapter 6. Let's read verse 7 and 8. I want to show you a very important key in terms of your seed. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Those 5 seeds you will always have. Your time, your skills, your money, your words, and your actions. Yeah? I want to show you what the Bible says about them. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Let's have a reader. Someone who has not read today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Pastor Jimmy? Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8.
Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit.
Amen. Let me just read that again. Galatians 6, I'll read from verse from King James. Do not be deceived. Turn to your message. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You know what that means? It means that you cannot outsmart God. You can go up and do your own thing. Do it in your own way. You know, like, you know Cain? Cain and Abel. You know the story of Cain and Abel? Anybody know the story of Cain and Abel? God told them, said, to offer him sacrifice. Do you know the difference between the sacrifice of Cain and the sacrifice of Abel? Let me test you. Where is Mike? What's the difference between the sacrifice of Cain and the sacrifice of Abel? Anybody feeling bold? Why was Abel's sacrifice accepted and Cain's was not? Yeah, don't be afraid. The ones that can happen, I will say, okay, it's a good answer.
Because Abel used fresh fruits and everything that he did was actually fresh to God.
That's what I wanted you to say, because that's what I was taught as a young child. Cain, the Bible says that he offered to God of the fruit of the ground. Yeah? Did I just assume, you know, like potatoes and fresh fruits and whatever? I don't know. I was not there. But he offered one. But Abel, he offered a sacrifice of, you know, sheep, you know, and livestock. And so we read that God did not accept the sacrifice of Cain, but God accepted the sacrifice of Abel. I can't go into that now. But let me tell you the fundamental difference between sacrifice of Cain and sacrifice of Abel. Cain, when God said that you would bring a sacrifice, I believe that God has also instructed them what is the right sacrifice. But you know what Cain did? He went to prepare a sacrifice his own way. Bible says that Cain was a tiller of the ground. So he brought the stuff he was doing and said, this one looks nice. If it's good for my wife, it's good enough for God. After all, my wife is the person I love most. I'm just joking. And then he offers it to God. Yeah? Did my own way. My own style. God, if you don't like it, I've done my best. Are you listening to me? He did not do it God's way. He did it his own way. That's why the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice by faith. I say faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. There's no way Abel will have faith if he has not heard the word of God. Abel, by faith, understood what was needed, and he offered it. Are you with me? There might be a reason why Cain did not do the right thing. Let me tell you one reason. Maybe he had to go to Abel and say, Abel, can I buy a sheep? Abel said, Abel will sell it, but Cain is proud. I'm the older brother. Why should I go to... Okay, that's just my idea. Okay, I'm rounding up. Whatever we sow is what we'll reap. So, finally, let's go back to Galatians 6. Let me finish there. I'm reading it again. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Please say to yourself, say, God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, say that, that he will also reap. Let me explain something to you. The fact that you are doing something wrong now and there's no repercussion does not mean you're going scot-free. Because as you know, when you plant a seed, it's not when you reap the tree. It may take even many years. So, let me tell you the worst seed you can plant in your life, and you have it in you, in your flesh. That seed is called pride. Yeah? You know why? Because pride is the beginning of every other sin. Pride and selfishness. Hello? Pride and every sin in this world can be traced back to pride and selfishness. So when you plant pride and selfishness, you may not reap it now. You can even look at the mirror and laugh. See? You'll say, I'm okay. I'm cool. But that seed, because you release the seed, it will grow. It will take its time. Then when it comes out, you will say, cool, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? You've forgotten the seed you planted. Are you with me? It works both negative and positive. Plant the right words. Plant the right actions. You understand? Sow your seed if you want a harvest. Actually, I cannot finish this without showing you one more thing. So last question, and I show you how to plant your seed of time, skills, money, yeah, to reap the harvest you desire. So the last question I'll ask you is this. Please don't miss this. You know, last week we said that if you want your seed to give you harvest, you need to plant it. You need to water it. Who said water today? Somebody said water. Yeah? You did, yes. Thank you. You need to plant your seed. You need to water it. You need to tend it carefully. Yeah? Now, any farmer knows, and any householder knows this. Please listen to this. Don't miss it. Any farmer knows, and any householder knows that anything left unprotected will be stolen. It's only a matter of time. Listen to me. Get that again. Anything left what? Unprotected will be stolen. It's only a matter of time. For example, let me give an example. Like Crystal, imagine you with your car, you leave it unlocked, you know. I don't know whether you leave it unlocked. You leave it unlocked every day, you know. You go to your house, your flat bar, nothing happens, everything's fine, you know. You leave it unlocked, everything. In fact, after some time, you've done it for 2 months. This place is really safe. You start leaving your handbag again. You leave it in the car. I mean, there's no problem. One day. It just takes what? One day. It doesn't take many days for it to be what? Hallelujah. So the reason why we protect what is important to us is for that one day. It's not for the everyday. Are you with me? That's the way a seed works. Anything left unprotected will ultimately be stolen. So, whatever is important to us, we have to guard it generously. That includes our seed. We plant it, we water it, and we tend it carefully. Then we can be guaranteed that there will be harvest. Hallelujah. There will what? Be harvest. Because we can't make harvest happen. Only God can make harvest happen. What we can do is to plant. God will not plant for you. What we can do is to water. God can send you rain, but you must still make sure that the seed can receive rain. But the fundamental key to getting a seed to produce harvest is the soil you plant on. You can't just take your seed and plant anywhere. I believe you understand what I mean. You can't. You can cause a lot of trouble. Yeah? So like, my question I want to ask to show you to finish this message is, what is the best soil to plant your seeds? Let's finish on that level. You have 5 seeds you will always have, and they can produce a harvest of blessing in your life in whatever area of need you have. Those seeds are your time, your skills, your money, your words, and your actions. So the question is this. You have these seeds. What is the best soil to plant your seeds? And that's my last question. Round it up.
You plant it on God's word.
On God's word, yes. That's a good answer. You're in the right direction. I'm looking for a better answer. Yes? Just say exactly what you said. No modification.
The kingdom.
The kingdom. Please open your Bible. That's the last piece I'll open now. Matthew 6, 33. The best soil to plant your seed is in the kingdom. That is the soil that guarantees that there will be harvest. Any other soil, there's no guarantee. Yeah, there may be some. You may get some things, but there's no guarantee. God does not guarantee any other soil. The only soil that God guarantees that if you plant your seed into this soil, there will be harvest is the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying that you may not get some harvest from some other soil, but you have no guarantee. In fact, those harvests can be dissolved in one day. Hello? Did you know that? That the things, the treasure we have in this life, I would say lay your treasure where? Above, not on the earth. Why? He said because on the earth, the thieves can break in and steal. The moth and the water can... The things we are building, one day, it can disappear and dissolve. Hello, are you listening to me? Any treasure a man has on earth can dissolve in one day. Now, I'm not wishing you that. I'm just telling you the whole truth. That's why I always say that. Don't lay up your treasure on earth. Lay it up above. Because that one, it is guaranteed. Are you with me? It is guaranteed to produce a harvest of blessing both on the earth and in the world to come. Matthew 6:33, let's do that and then we stop there. Matthew 6:33, yes, who got it? Someone who's not read today. Brother Tim, you've not read. Brother Toby, you've not read. Let's have a brother. Matthew 6:33, yes.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Seek ye first the kingdom. And his righteousness. Then what will happen?
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. Now I know you've read. I know, but you are familiar with this scripture, isn't it? I know you read it. In fact, there are some songs. I know some songs. Today I want to show you this scripture in a new light. This scripture is telling you about the seed. Look at the way it works. Seek ye the kingdom means plant your seed there. Then there will be a harvest of all these other things you want. All is all inclusive. When your seed goes into the kingdom, you have a guarantee from God that all these other things you need for your life will be added. There is no other guarantee like that. If you read the Bible, this is an open check. He said, take your seed. You know, it's like seek first the kingdom. I don't know how you see it, how you understand what he's saying, but understand it today as a seed. He's saying, take those 5 seeds of yours. Keep planting them into the kingdom. And God is saying, I guarantee you. It's not like when God wanted to guarantee him, but God saw by himself because there was no other person to swear by. That's why God doesn't swear. Because there's nobody. He said, I guarantee you all these other things you want in life, yeah, and in the life to come will be added. So, whatever is arising in your life, yeah, take your seed, your time, your skills, your money, your words, your action. Plant it into the kingdom. Now, planting into the kingdom is not just about giving your time and your skills and your money to the kingdom. That's very important anyway. That's why, you see, once I tell you, when I receive my salary, let me just tell you my personal experience. When I receive my salary, you know what excites me most? I like online banking. So the first thing I want to do is go and cost check. Is the money in? Anybody? Anybody there? Is the money in? Ah, praise the Lord. You know, when after that, the next thing that excites me immediately, that's me. That's why you don't see me pay my diet in the bucket. Immediately. I'm so excited. Immediately, I just, but it's not that I don't like money. I like money. You know, some people tell you they don't like money. I don't love money, okay, but I need money. Immediately, I will just transfer the 10% into the church bank account. And I say, thank you, Lord. I just feel so good when I do it. You know why? Because I understand that moment that, you know what? I'm in partnership with God. Before the devil can get my finances, he will work very hard. Are you with me? He will have to work what? Extra hard. Hello? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you're in partnership with God, you are under his shadow. Yeah? All the waves and storms of life may come. But before they will penetrate you, they will try hard. Because you're under the shadow. He said, when we seek first, when we continue to plant our seeds, time, skills, and money to the kingdom, all those other things that are oppressing our life, God will start sorting them out one after the other. He's a guarantee. Hallelujah. Now, one more thing I just want to say. In terms of there's other dimension to planting your seed in the kingdom. It's not just about when you give your time and your skills and your money. It's also making sure that your words and your action conform with the principles of the kingdom. You see what I mean? If you go out, you continue to say the wrong things and do the wrong things, the kingdom principle, the blessing is not going to come your way. Because you know why? The blessing was given to you, but you are breaking it. Are you listening to me? The words you speak on a day-to-day basis, the actions you do, the things you do, they matter whether your harvest will be released or not. If your words and your actions, they are conformed with the principles of the kingdom, for now, the Bible says, love your enemies. That's the kingdom principle. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yeah? It says, should blessing and curse come from the same mouth? Should we use the same mouth to bless somebody and then curse them? These are kingdom principles. When your words and your actions begin to conform with kingdom principles, yeah? The harvest is coming.